Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2439, with a release date of Friday, July 26th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A newly launched NASA tool studies radio waves coming from CMEs. Ham radio joins a college curriculum in India, and the Intercontinental Traffic Net needs your help. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2439 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
We begin this week with a look at solar storms. And as almost everyone knows, we've had more than our share of CMEs in this part of the solar cycle. NASA has begun trying to better understand radio waves detected coming from coronal mass ejections, and now they have the tool to help them. We learn more about it from Ralph Squillaci, KK6-ITB.
The unprecedented use of a research tool in space known as low-frequency radio interferometry is helping NASA scientists track radio waves emanating from coronal mass ejections. The mission is known as CURIE, an acronym for CubeSat Radio Interferometry Experiment. Designed by scientists from the University of California, Berkeley, CURIE's two small spacecraft launched from French Guiana aboard a European Space Agency Ariane 6 rocket making its inaugural flight. This is the first space mission looking specifically at the origin of these radio signals, which are commonly detected during solar flares, CMEs, and solar storms. CURIE's two CubeSats are designed to capture the radio waves and triangulate them to determine their point of origin. Scientists are hoping that their findings can help better predict disruptions in communications as a result of rough solar weather. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6-ITB.
In the U.S., Carnegie Mellon University in Pennsylvania recently added amateur radio to its curriculum for engineering students. Now in India, another college has made that move. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, has that report.
Honors students in chemistry are being given the opportunity to add amateur radio to their first semester course load at a college in West Bengal, India. The RK Mission Vivekananda Centenary College announced recently that school officials believe that becoming a licensed ham will provide a gateway into the police force, the paramilitary, airport traffic work, and various divisions of the Indian military. The class is being designed to prepare students for the Amateur Station Operator Certificate issued by the Ministry of Communications. The announcement by the private engineering school was reported on the website of thestatesman.com. The school's principal said that although only chemistry students will be eligible for enrollment at this time, educators may expand the roster to include undergraduates focusing on physics. The school also plans to set up an amateur radio station on the campus. 70 students have enrolled in the course, which is being taught by the Indian Academy of Communications. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Congratulations to Christian Leuven of Dulzburg, Germany. Christian successfully passed his licensing exam on the 24th of June and has become the country's first entry-level Class N amateur radio operator. Class N amateurs have access to 70 centimeters, 2 meters, and 10 meters. They may operate at a maximum of 10 watts. A ham in Connecticut has found an answer to this very important question that's as old as ham radio itself. How do you say thank you to the person, or the people, who helped you get on the air? You do it by getting on the air. Here's Travis Lisk, N3ILS, who tells us how to make it happen.
On the QRZ.com page for his upcoming special event, Rich Marzo, KB1FGC, publicly thanks the hams who have helped him. Steve, N1AOB, Glenn, WG3F, Bill, W1FMX, and Joe, AA2IL. Those are just the main names on Rich's list, and the thanks don't end there. For the third consecutive year, Rich has organized a three-day event in which he and other hams can publicly thank their Elmers by operating one of three call signs, W1E, W3E, and W4E. This year's event is happening on the 18th through to the 20th of October. According to a press release from Rich, there are a dozen operators already signed up, but any ham who wants to express their gratitude and acknowledge those amateurs who have provided technical and moral support are welcome to sign on as an Elmer Special Event operator. Rich says that if he gets enough response from another call district not represented by the existing three call signs, he will apply for a fourth. Contact him via the email address found on the QRZ.com page for KB1FGC or see the text version of this week's Newsline script. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Hams in the Netherlands are feeling a deep loss following the death of one of the country's most prominent active amateurs. We learn more from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Hans van den Berg, PA0JBB, is being remembered as a dedicated radio amateur who gave his devotion and expertise to many local ham radio clubs and related projects. Hans has become a silent key. He died on the 20th of July and was discovered lying on the ground in his back garden. He was wearing the climbing harness he customarily wore for working on his tower. However, it's not known what happened to Hans immediately before his death. Martin, PA2RUS, who shared the news on a forum on QRZ.com, told Newsline in an email that Hans freely shared his electronics expertise with fellow amateurs and spent hours assisting others with projects. He helped restore the radio room aboard the sea tug Elbe, a seagoing vessel significant in Dutch shipping history. He also managed the medium wave transmitter technology and antenna installation at the Hindustani radio station Vahon, which serves the Indian community. Hans was a recipient of the Golden Pin from the Radio Amateur Transmitting Society, VRZA, and was chosen Radio Amateur of the Year in 2014, one of the most prestigious awards for a Dutch radio amateur. Hans also wrote articles frequently for Electron, the monthly magazine of Veron, the Dutch National Amateur Radio Society. Martin told Newsline, quote, "His passing is a significant loss, not only to his family, but also to the amateur radio community," unquote. Hans was 78.
The Intercontinental Amateur Traffic Net, one of the oldest continuing nets in the United States, needs your help. In a posting in one of the QRZ.com forums, Holger, K2HES, said that the 20-meter net, also known as Intercon, needs additional net control stations to cover a one-hour shift handling emergency communications. The net receives priority and emergency traffic on 14.300 megahertz daily from 1200 UTC to 1700 UTC during standard time and from 1100 UTC to 1600 UTC during daylight savings time in the United States. Hams with at least a general class U.S. license are eligible to fill one of the available slots as net control. Visit intercontinentalnet.org. That's intercontinentalnet, one word, .org for more details and to see the net control schedule with the shifts that are available. The net has been on the air providing communications and goodwill since 1960. It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N5OZG repeater in New Orleans, Louisiana, on Sundays at 8 p.m. The first full weekend of August brings back a tradition begun in 1991, when Colorado amateurs decided it'd be fun to activate mountains with a minimum height of 14,000 feet. This year, hams are ascending the heights once again, but in the years that followed, they have added scores of smaller mountains while keeping the original ones known as the 14ers. Although the main activation days will be Saturday, August 3rd and Sunday, August 4th, hams will be on the air on Friday before and Monday after the big weekend. This is a tradition that predates the arrival of Summits on the Air Awards scheme in Colorado, but has since become part of it. For information about the peaks and the frequencies being used, see the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script. The UK regulator has begun exploring ways to provide mobile devices with direct coverage from the sky. We have those details from Jeremy Boot, G4 NJH.
Ofcom is looking for a means of allowing sky-based systems to enhance connectivity for smartphones and similar mobile devices. The UK regulator seeks views on ways to implement direct-to-device services for mobile coverage during outage of traditional networks and as a way to provide service to underserved areas. This could mean technology deployed from satellites, aircraft, or additional airborne platforms. Acknowledging that such technology will have an impact on the limited availability of the radio spectrum, the regulator is asking for input from the public and will receive comments until the 13th of September. A call for input form is available as a download from the Ofcom website. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Meanwhile, Ofcom has announced that it plans to permit smaller separation distances and greater maximum power for users of the part of the spectrum between 3.8 and 4.2 gigahertz. Ofcom proposes allowing an increase by 3 dB for the maximum power limit of so-called low-power devices. Ofcom called these changes, quote, improvements that are part of its shared access framework, which began in 2019 as a way of giving more users access through shared spectrum. Ofcom also plans to allow unlicensed low-power devices to be used indoors on the frequencies between 2320 and 2340 megahertz with the amateur radio 13-centimeter shared band. Many of these and related changes are expected to take effect in the final quarter of the year. In the meantime, Ofcom is seeking input on these proposals no later than the 18th of September. In Indonesia, a group of hams is preparing for a weekend de-expedition with a special call sign to mark the Republic's Independence Day. Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, brings us the details.
Pari Island, a stingray shaped island in Indonesia, is set for a de-expedition in August, celebrating the 79th anniversary of the Republic's independence. Some members of ORARI, the National Society for Amateur Radio, plan a full four-day weekend event beginning on the 16th of August with a flag ceremony on the 17th. Operators will be calling CQ with the call sign 7E79RI on 6HF bands and 1VHF band. The hams are members of ORARI's local East Jakarta group, YH0AD. Announcing the trip in one of the forums in QRZ.com, M. Faris Suwanto, YC0SJA, said that the de-expedition could be combined with a family trip since the island is also a popular spot for tourists. Pari Island is part of the Seribu Island Group, IOTA number OC-177. Indonesian nationalists declared the Republic to be free of rule by the Dutch on the 17th of August, 1945. According to the United States Indonesia Society, it is the world's third largest democracy. This is Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
In the world of DX, the Association Royale des Radio Amateurs du Maroc is marking Throne Day, a public holiday in Morocco. With call signs that have the special prefix 5C25 from the 25th of July to the 5th of August. The National Society, ARRAM, call sign CN8MC, will be running the Silver Jubilee event station with the call sign 5C25FT. Throne Day honors the enthronement of the incumbent monarch, and its official date is the 30th of July. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for Michelle, F8GGZ, on the air as TM24JOL between the 26th of July and the 11th of August. Michelle will also be on the air as TM24JPO between the 28th of August and the 8th of September. The first activation will be for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games, followed by the Paralympic Games. QSL via his home call. Listen for the call sign TO8FP on the air from Mikultan. IOTA number NA032, from the 10th to the 22nd of August. They will be using CW, single sideband, and some digital modes on 80 through 6 meters. They will also operate via satellite, QSL via Club Log, or via DJ4MX. A group of operators on Palestrina Island will use the call sign IR3M on the 28th through the 30th of July. Palestrina Island is IOTA number EU-131, QSL via the Bureau, and Logbook of the World. Our final story of the week proves that sometimes a bunch of hams camping out is much more than just a bunch of hams camping out. George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU, shares the camping story of these soda activators.
The third annual Whiskey 7 Oscar W7O Pacific Northwest Soda Campout wasn't just about making QSOs. This event on the summits of Southern Oregon was about making memories, just as it had done for those attending in its first 2 years. 45 operators made the trip, some driving from as far away as North Carolina, to visit in person with their on-the-air friends to call CQ from on high in the nearby mountain ranges. Using the Howard Prairie Lake Campground as their base, the amateurs logged hundreds of QSOs in nearby Cascade and Siskiyou Mountains between the 12th and 16th of July. The operators completed summit-to-summit QSOs and logged contacts with home-based chasers, mostly on 2 meters. Some even experimented using CW and single sideband on their 2-meter radios. Amy, AG7GP, who organized the event with Robin, N7HAP, said that a heat wave of more than 100 degrees Fahrenheit proved to be particularly challenging. But when you're calling CQ after ascending a summit, you get to rise above all that. Amy told Newsline in an email, "Everyone has something to offer in the ham radio world, no matter where they are on their journey. One thing I enjoy most is bringing people together for eyeball QSOs. At the campouts, there's a lot of visiting and laughter, and lifelong friendships are made. Perhaps Derek, W7DLZ, and James, WA7JNJ, exemplify that best. They arrived at the campground as strangers to one another, but by the time everyone was getting ready to pack up and go home, the duo had become an activation team. They hiked together and completed 13 joint summit activations." This is George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU.
If a good day of radio is like poetry to you, pick up a pencil and join the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. Share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your 3-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, Ambarishnag Biswat, VU2JFA, Amy Haptonstall, AJ7GP, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, 425DX News, TheIntercontinentalNet.org, Martin Russ, PA2RUS, NASA, Nextstar Media, Ofcom, QRZ.com, Radio DARC, Rich Marzo, KB1FGC, ShortwaveRadio.de, The Soda Reflector, Statesman.com, United States Indonesia Society, Veron, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operations. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights reserved.